Hello out there, welcome to your next mission video podcast. Serving in the military does not just mean service of the individual, but service of the entire family. And they too face challenges that come with this service. Today we're going to talk with the CEO of Blue Star Families, an organization who understands those challenges and is dedicated to helping the military families thrive as they serve. You'll hear all about it in just a minute, so stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Your Next Mission Video Podcast, where we tell the stories of those who have served in the past and those who are serving today. From transition to financial wellness, VA benefits to mental health, we cover issues facing veterans, active military, and their families. Now here's your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army and co-founder of the American Freedom Foundation, Jack L. Tilley.
Thanks for joining us, and thanks to all of our veterans and service members and families for your service to our great country. Now, before we get started, I personally want to thank our presenting sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, whose members are the mission, and Purdue Global, where you can start your comeback. With additional sponsorship from Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental, and Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. Together, they make your next mission happen. They love our veterans and families, and I know I say it every week, we love them too. Today, we're going to talk about the service and sacrifice of our military families, both active duty and veteran. And I'm excited to introduce and welcome back to the show the CEO of Blue Star Families, Kathy Roth Duquet. Kathy, welcome back to the show.
Great to be here, Sergeant Major. Thanks for having me.
Well, thank you so much for coming back. Usually when they come back the second time, they send money to me or something like that. Hey, you know, Kathy, if it works, I'll do it. Hey, Kathy, we got a lot to talk about. Before we do that, could you, you know, tell the audience just a little bit about yourself?
Sure. You know, I didn't come from a military family. I grew up in Cleveland, Ohio, pretty far from any military installations. Went on in my life, had a career, but I met and fell in love with a really dashing Marine pilot. I married him in the late 90s. That didn't seem like a very controversial thing to do if those old enough to remember those days.
Yes.
But then, you know, the war came and I found myself part of a community that was doing a very heavy lift for the country.
Yeah.
And so many of the folks I knew from my previous life, they were influential people and they were making decisions and they were shaping opinions, but they really didn't know us. They didn't know this new community I found myself part of and what they did. And so they really couldn't support us the way we needed to be supported. The service members for sure, but the families too, because we don't do this work without the families. People are family members. And if their families are hurting, makes it very hard to keep the job going. So really, I got involved with this work to try to fix that problem. I love our all-volunteer force. If we want to keep it going for the country, as we must, we need to find a way to talk to the country to get them helping us to carry this load so that we can all have the country we want.
Yeah. You know, I tell my wife all the time, I don't know if I used to tell her just about every day, she's sacrificed a lot more than I have in the military. You know, I did out and did things I enjoyed doing, you know, doing all the things a soldier does on the ground. But she stayed home and did a lot of really tough lifting for me. And I always tell her every day, I say, you know, I never could pay you back enough for what you've done and what you continue to do.
Yeah, but jewelry helps, you know.
Well, I tried to help. I don't know how much I did help, but I tried to help as much as I could. You know, the history, you know, you got a history of Blue Star Families is really a pretty unique history. Would you tell us a little bit about the history of, and really the term Blue Star Families? I want to know about that and your organization, of course.
Well, thanks. I'd love to do that. You know, what we found is that America always had everyone serving. And so you didn't really have to explain military life to Americans because it was something that was just part of citizenship, you know, from the time of the founding all the way through the Cold War. And it was only when we created the all-volunteer force, which is a beautiful institution. But what it meant is that because people tend to do what happens in their families is you ended up with this, you know, feedback loop of family serving and then the majority of America not really being that aware of it. And so we had to find a way to talk to Americans about who the military are and why they need your support. People in their minds are kind of, you know, stuck in this 20th century vision of it. They think we all live on base. We think the military takes care of all of our needs, and it's really not their business to be involved. So we took the name Blue Star Families because Congress commissioned the Blue Star flag in World War I for a family to fly in their house if they had a member of their immediate family who was deployed to a combat theater at the moment. And that said, hey, the whole community needs to recognize and support this family. Well, fast forward 100 years, our current military is very small and it's very deployed. Today, we have 200,000 people deployed around the globe of all military services. And that's a higher percentage of people deployed than during the Afghan and Iraq war because we have a smaller military. But Americans don't know that. So because we have so much deployment in such a small military, it means everyone who serves pretty much is pre-deployment, deployed, or post-deployment, which means that if you are serving in the military, you need the kind of support that Blue Star flag flyers used to have. And that's why we call ourselves Blue Star Families, to indicate that we are an expeditionary force. We are all doing a heavy lift for the country, and we all need that extra support to be able to do it. Not because we're not strong, we're very strong, but because the job is that big. And the good news is that it's actually better for the country to support us. It ties them to the work of maintaining the society we have, and it ties them to this feeling of giving back and being part of something bigger than yourself. So there's really no downside. And that's really what Blue Star Families does. We get the data, we're very data-driven. We look at the challenges people have. It turns out most of them have to do with isolation in the communities where people live. Our mental health problems and our financial and security problems, they come from those broken networks that happen from moving over and over again and living a very different life than the larger society, but kind of being in the larger society. So we create chapters, we create outposts, we have an online community called The Neighborhood, and we train the communities in which we live on how to be a better part of the fellowship of keeping us, you know, together and strong and healthy.
Yeah, you know, a couple of things here. One is that when I went in the military, the Army, especially the Army, it was about 18 divisions. When I left the military, it was 10 divisions, and now it's back to 11 divisions. And so you're right, the military is smaller, but because it's smaller, more rotations. More people are deploying a lot more. And just on the Army side of the house, you said 200,000 for all the services. I think that's probably pretty close, but the Army alone, I think, has probably over 100,000 people every day deployed.
It does. Yeah, like between 120 and 130. And, you know, in the 20th century, you would be an Army family. Your spouse would maybe never deploy away from you. You know, Sheila Casey, who was our board chair, her husband, General George Casey, first 20 years of their marriage, they spent no time apart. But then 9/11, you know, more time apart than together. So the reality of military life has really shifted. You know, my husband, well, he was in the Marine Corps, but even so, probably 5 years of my kids' upbringing, he was just gone. And we were moving, right? 9 times in 16 years. I lost my job. My kids were changing schools. And, you know, I had to figure out how to keep that together, far from family and friends, not worry my husband so he could keep his mind on the mission. But also deal with the 4-year-old who's waking up at night, walking around the house looking for his father because he doesn't understand that he's gone. And the lack of the second income that makes it a little hard to do things like afford summer camp. And, you know, how we take a little bit of the lift off this family makes all the difference in the world.
Yeah, you talked about a bunch of stuff that really affected me. I never watched my kids grow up. I think they went from 2 to 19. You know, and I was just gone so long. The other thing is financially, I don't think I was comfortable financial until I was a sergeant first class and my wife was working. And then, you know, then we could, you know, buy a few. But we lived, you know, for a long time, month to month. And then I remember talking to her not too long ago. We talked about buying tires for a car years ago. And we'd have to wait till we got our income tax back to buy tires. And so it's sort of funny now, but you had to make sure that you knew exactly how you was spending money. Kathy, I think you've already answered this question, but I want to go maybe dig a little bit deeper. You know, what led you to create the Blue Star Families? And was it at least partly because of your own experience? And you've answered that already. It was about your experience. It was about you and your husband's experience in the military and the kind of sacrifice. Vices that you just talked about you know, your deployment of your husband and his separation from you both. Is there anything else you want to add to that, too?
I would love to dig into it a little more because, yeah. You know, the interesting thing is when I first started the organization, I was looking at my neighbors and I was thinking, you know, look at this young woman. She just moved to Paris Island where we were living. She had a special needs child and she was pregnant. And they had moved with the expectation that her husband was going to be work in one of the recruit battalions, you know, training battalions. But his orders changed mid-move, and he got deployed. So here she was, moved in by herself, tiny town in South Carolina. Her friends and family were all in a different part of the country. Her child, she was chasing down the special needs of this child that were unknown, but really health-threatening. And she was pregnant. And this woman was volunteering.
Yeah.
And I thought, God bless you. How is it that you find the time and energy to volunteer? And she said, it keeps me going.
Yeah.
And I thought, we as a country cannot do enough for these people. We can try to make it so that the community knows she's here. There is a wellspring of goodwill, but they just don't know she's here. So how do we break that down and connect it? I'm a lawyer, and I know that even though I'm not allowed as my husband's wife to ask for help because I'm associated with a military unit, I could be the very same person under the umbrella of a 501c3 tax status organization. And that status lets me ask for help. And yeah. I thought, you know what? Let's create an organization where I can at least ask for help for some of these people I know. And then Sergeant Major, it was years and years and years after running this organization that I realized I didn't just do it for my neighbors, but I really did do it for myself, because as much as I think of myself as a very strong and resourced person, very fortunate person, I got a lot of education, you know, I got a lot of previous experience. There were times when I was really sad and lonely and really didn't know how to go on. And it was me too.
Yeah. Yeah. I tell you, You're talking right down my ballpark here, but the fact of the matter, you're the kind of person, just, you know, I've talked to you a few times, I know, but you're the kind of person that doesn't sit back. You get out there and make things happen. You help people, you push a little bit, and if it's not right, you're going to fix it. And so that's the kind of people you are. Now, but also there's the other side, too. There's the people that go back, sit on their couch and say, well, nobody loves me, nobody wants to help me. And you could do that. And that's when you get into that depression and things are not doing, you know, so you got to get out, and life's not going to be perfect. You're going to have problems. Things are not going to work out the way you want them to work out, but just keep moving in that direction. That's all I've ever did in my life. There too. Hey, in our prep call, you said that one of your goals is to reduce the friction of military families. Now, I know what friction means, but can you tell me what friction means, or what are you talking about there?
You know, from living the life and from being close to a lot of these families, you know, the government, sometimes a nonprofit or a corporation, they craft a solution, but the solution has so much friction involved with it, so much paperwork or so much bureaucracy or so much, you know, time and energy that it's not worth solving the problem. And I think for Blue Star Families, you know, I actually come from a private sector background, and work for a venture capital firm. And if you want to sell a product to people, it's got to be fun and easy to use. We want to create a solution for military families. It's got to be fun and easy to use. So Blue Star Families, we're like the zero entry pool. You know, you don't even feel your feet getting wet when you start getting in. We are really focused on what do people want and how do they want them. We'll give you a free Starbucks. We got this fantastic program with Ford, where we'll take families on off-road Ford Bronco rodeos, you know, very fun stuff. We have a partnership with Coach. So, and you get free Coach bags, right? So fun stuff, no friction to get them, an online platform that's cyber secure because the bad guys go after military families. So having it cyber secure is important, but it's just easy to find things, easy to register for something, easy to find a person who can give you a warm referral to something you might need. Take away the friction, because that's actually what makes life better.
Well, it sounds like you're really making that process a lot smoother, a lot easier for a lot of people. If it's easy, they're going to do it. If it's complicated, or you call somebody on the phone, they don't answer the phone, they get turned off and they're not going to come back. They're going to say, oh, this is too hard, I don't want to do that. So it makes it too difficult for a lot of people.
You know, and I think about, what did I want? You know, when I was struggling with one of those deployments, well, it's not that there weren't resources for me, you know. The Red Cross, I love them, one of my big partners, but they had a deployment survival presentation. I could drive an hour, watch a PowerPoint in a room with metal folding chairs and fluorescent lights in a place where there's no childcare for my kids, and I passed on that. Yeah. So what is really going to make life better for me? And you know, asking those questions.
Yeah, you're doing a lot of wonderful things. I want to talk about transitioning. And why should we get, you know, an earlier start preparing for it? But first, like everything else, we got to take a short break. So I know you're not going to go anywhere, because I love talking to you. So stay right there. I'll be right back.
Sure.
This is your Next Mission Video Podcast with me, your host, Jack L. Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army. And if you're enjoying this discussion, please like us. Click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications of all of our upcoming video podcasts. I'll be right back after a word from our presenting sponsors.
You're watching Your Next Mission Video Podcast, proudly presented by Navy Federal Credit Union, the most trusted credit union owned by members of the military community, serving all branches of the armed forces and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. And Purdue Global. You're ready for a comeback, and with Purdue Global, you can do more than take classes. You can take charge of your story, of your career, of your life. Earn a degree you can be proud of and get an education employers respect. Start your comeback at PurdueGlobal.edu. Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're talking about helping military families with Kathy Roth Duque, the CEO of Blue Star Families. Before we get back to our discussion, I'd like to take a few seconds to tell you about a new program we're excited about called Your Next Mission VCS, a Veterans Community Support Program. We'll provide personalized one-on-one support to address the unique needs within our veteran community, facilitated through our many partnerships with other veteran service organizations. Please check us out at yournextmission.org/VCS and enroll to participate today. Remember, we want to help you with whatever issue you or your family are facing. So please, please reach out to us. Kathy, we were talking about transition, and I can tell you a bunch of stories about my transition before we got on break. I know Blue Star Families has done a lot of research about the best time to prepare for it. So what'd you find out?
Yeah, as I mentioned, we are very data-driven, evidence-based organization. So we've done a lot of research around transition. And what we found is that people who spend 2 years on transition by far do the best. And the people who struggle the most spend less than 6 months. And I think that's, you can't overestimate this. If some of your listeners are still in service, take that to heart. You know, you got to do your mission now, but be in partnership with your spouse and start that planning for what comes next now. If you are already transitioned out of service, if you're a veteran listening to this, you've got some active duty folks in your circle, consider sharing this information with them, because we see that not only does being prepared for service, of being prepared for transition, not only does it help you successfully transition better, but it actually makes you feel better in retrospect about your military service, makes you more likely to recommend military service for others. So there's a whole benefit to the whole group if we do this thing well.
Yeah, I think the other thing there too is make sure your spouse is involved in that entire process. I know you know that already, but when you start 2 years out, you start planning together, not just the spouse, but the kids too. All the kids in there got to start talking about, you know, what you're going to do. And so that's important. I got to admit now, when I transitioned out of the military, I waited. I thought, you know, you can't do without me. I need to keep working. And so I probably worked up the last week I was before I retired. I was still in the Pentagon doing some work. But your advice is break 2 years out, start that process, and make sure your spouse and your family's involved in the process. So
you know, we kept thinking my husband was going to get out. So we did like a retirement course at 20 years. And we did another one at 26 years. And then I think we did another one at 28 years. And then finally at 30 years. So that was, but as silly as that was, it was actually super helpful. The other thing I would say is that Blue Star Families, about 20% of our membership is veteran family. So I really encourage any of your listeners, Blue Star Families is free. Come be part of the community. And then share your wisdom and your experience with the people who are still serving. That is such a bridge to civilian life. And I wonder if you had experiences with that too, with folks who had retired who you knew as you were going through that process.
I did. I reached out to a couple of people. I always call mentors. I had mentors or advisors or whatever you call them, but I reached out to them. Hey, look, I'm getting ready to retire. And what do you think I ought to do? In fact, one of the hardest things that I had is the value. How much am I worth? You know, what should I ask for? You know, how should I? Just a lot of little small things that you think are obvious. And I remember going, after I retired now, going to the Sergeant Major Academy, talking about transition. I said the same thing, 2 years out, you ought to start that process. And there was guys in the front rows going, yeah, okay. And now, 2 years after that presentation, I ran into a few of them and says, hey, Sergeant Major, what, you was exactly right. I should have started a little bit earlier. There were some things I should have done. You know, you might thought I wasn't listening, but I was taking notes and stuff. So I get a lot of comments back about preparation. And I got to admit, I try real hard, but I do help quite a few people either put them on. I own a small company, either put them to work with me or find other companies that are like mine and put them to work. Your research also shows that the best ways for families to build resilience is to spend positive time together. Blue Star Families, I know, helps creating activities. You got a lot of activities that are going on with the family together. Would you talk about all the activities that you have that you're doing?
Yeah, I'd love to do it. I really appreciate you mentioning the backdrop to it, because we did a 3-year longitudinal study. We looked at 18 factors that pertain to resilience. 4 rose to the top. One of them was the amount of positive time spent together as a family. And that's why we really say to people, invest in this. It's not taking you away from work. It's not taking you away from chores. It's not taking you away from things you ought to be doing. It's actually doing the work of making your whole family stronger. Spend that positive time together. But that's often really hard for a military or recently transitioned family to do, because you're exhausted and you don't know the area, and doing this stuff is tough. So Blue Star Families, we help do that for you. You know, we have this amazing program called Blue Star Outdoors. We actually get some congressional funding from it through the Department of Health Agency. We'll take people to national parks. We'll give them fishing equipment. We'll take them out kayaking, give them really great experiences as a family, but also in fellowship with other families. Blue Star Museums, almost 2,000 museums across the country, free to military connected families. The spouse can go if the service member is deployed. You can bring up to 5 other people. So you can not only bring your kids, but maybe the cousins, maybe the next door neighbors, as a way of, again, being together as a family and also finding fellowship with others. Book clubs, where we have civilian kids and military kids reading books together while the parents read a book with the civilian parents, and then all have dinner together afterwards. Lifelong friendships get formed by this. We find not only is this great for the family and it's a great way to invest time, but if you can create those trust networks with other folks, it's those people you trust that bring you to the resources that you want and need. You can have the most brilliant programs and resources in the world, but if there's not a person you trust to introduce you to them, you're never going to find them. And so we really work on that whole business of trust.
Yeah, no, I'm glad you said that. Trust is really important. If they don't trust you, they're not going to come back. They're not going to believe in you. The other thing I tell you is you're talking, I'm thinking, this is a vacation. This is a vacation for a family. So if you get cruises in there, call me up. I'll be over there in a minute.
But you know what? You need that. It's part of the recovery period, right? We think we're so tough. You know, with this one kid, we said, what's your family's resilience strategy? And this one kid said, suck it up. And that's awesome.
I don't know that he probably got that from his mother and father, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's awesome. But we also really benefit from the vacations.
Well, the other thing I'll tell you, I said a minute ago, I own a small company and I have about, I guess 10 employees, but they're all friends. But when I get on the phone and talk to them, I know they know this, I know that. It's more therapy than anything else. And so when you get people around you that have the same likes and dislikes and going through the same kind of, it's therapy. You know, yes. Where you sit down and talk to somebody else that has the same kind of, and you pick up really good ideas about how to deal with the issues. Like you talked about, I don't know if there's a son or a daughter that has a disability, a special needs son or daughter, but I have an older son that has that special needs. And a lot of times in the military, I didn't tell anybody I had that. I mean, I just sort of kept to myself, sucked it up, kept moving on. My wife dealt with the issues and I dealt with the issues because I was always concerned about promotions and stuff like that. So it's really a good program because for me, it's about mentoring and talking to people and it's the therapy and the bonding because there's a lot of people that serve in the military that understand each other. And when you get out of that little circle and you go somewhere else, it's hard. Because it's people hard. Just, yeah, they just don't understand. Hey, I understand you have a special week. I'm excited about this. Just sitting right here. You have a special week coming up that I want to talk about. But first, there's always a burst of first and everything. We need to take another quick break. So stay there. I'm going to come back. There's no question about that. Now, here's a word from two more of the organizations that make this show possible.
You're watching Your Next Mission video podcast, brought to you in part by Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Dental, Blue Cross Blue Shield FEP Vision.
Part of transitioning out is that dental and vision insurance breaks off from your medical insurance.
Vision and dental is very important to be able to enjoy your retirement.
Blue Cross Blue Shield makes the transition so much easier.
And USAA.
A promise is a trust not to be broken, whether spoken with an oath or sealed with a pinky. And after 100 years, we're still taking care of the military community and their families. That's our mission, always.
Now back to your host, the 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, Jack L. Tilley.
Welcome back. We're blessed to be here today with Kathy Roth Duque, CEO and co-founder of Blue Star Families. Remember, this is your show. We know there are so many issues that directly affect you, and we want to address each and every one of them. So please, as I said before, reach out to me. Tell me what topics you'd like to cover. You can call or text me at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. And guess what? I'll actually reach back out to you. Kathy, you have a big week coming up and a lot of events called Blue Star Welcome Week. What can you tell us about that?
We are so excited about Blue Star Welcome Week. It's a campaign we have to help communities understand that they've got military-connected people and welcome them in. Did you know that 600,000 military-connected people move around the country every year? These are people coming into military service, transitioning from duty station to duty station or geo-batching, or people transitioning into civilian life. And we know from our research that all of these people are at risk of being isolated in their communities. And in fact, 70% of folks tell us in our surveys that they actually don't end up feeling a sense of connection, sense of belonging in the communities where they live. And those folks have all the bad things happen to them. The people who do feel connected, who do feel a sense of belonging, have all the good things happen to them. So we want to create that sense of belonging, and Welcome Week is our way to do it. It's our way of asking communities to create a moment of welcome at the end of September. This year, it's September 21st to September 29th. It's like an extended week, two weekends.
Yeah.
And it's happening all across the country, especially where we have chapters. So you can maybe on your website, you can check out our website to see where our chapters and our outposts are across the country. But even where we don't have them, sometimes communities are doing programs. We'd love to get people to get involved because it's a really fun way to say to the new folks, hey, we see you. We're glad you're here. Come get to know us. And if you yourself is someone who's moving, come register with us. Again, it's free. We'll get you welcome gifts. We'll help connect you into communities. And it's a way to just get everyone off on a great start. Look, we're interested in telling about some of the challenges, but we really want to get upstream of them, right? And solve them. We want to make military life awesome for the people who serve in their families so they can keep doing it. That's really the goal here. Welcome Week's an amazing way to do that.
Well, now, what kind of things do you have planned? And how, if I want to get involved, how do I get involved?
Yeah, we got, so for those, I know you're in Tennessee, I believe, there's a whole bunch
I'm in Florida. Ted's in Tennessee.
Well, all right, so we got a bunch of stuff in Florida, a bunch of stuff in Tennessee, around the country. These can be things like, in some places we have concerts, you know, free open concerts for folks. Other places we have these outdoor outings. We may have, visits to the local community. We have like bus tours in New York City to see all the landmarks. It varies from place to place. Many school districts we have who are doing engagements to welcome the new kids who are in, who are military or veteran kids. A lot of times those veteran kids get ignored. But just because your dad retired doesn't mean the previous, 16 years of your lives stopped existing. So it's a whole range of really fun activities. We have that coach factory visit in Florida we do, so people can come see the coach bags made, and then they get a gift of a coach bag at the end of it. So it's a huge range of things. We keep asking for more community partners to get involved and take on projects. So if any of your listeners are connected to restaurants or companies or attractions that might want to take part, we're always looking to grow it.
What if civilians want to, help bridge that gap between their, what can they do? I mean, how can they join, I guess?
Yeah. So if you come on our website, we take you through it. And we can, what we find is that whatever people have to give, there's a way that we can use it. So, we have some, Starbucks is an amazing partner, and we'll do a lot of coffee meetups at Starbucks. They gave us the first cup free. I mentioned already, Ford does this rodeo with us. We have a Blue Star Books program with Disney where they give us their Disney books and we do big giveaways for books. So, whether you're an individual or you're associated with a company, there's something that's natural to you. In some of our chapters, we've got folks who are tennis coaches. They say, I'm going to offer a series of 6 free tennis lessons to a group of military kids. Put that together for us. We at the chapter, we can do that. So it's a great way of meeting people where you are, making a difference where you are. I got to tell you, the people who take part in it, they love it because there's nothing like being exposed to these young families.
Yeah. The reason I'm laughing is because I could volunteer something. I could give them golf lessons.
Yeah.
But they'd end up throwing their clubs like I do. So I don't I don't do that. But I mean, I'd show them how to hit a bad shot or something. I don't know.
Yeah, right here where I'm in D.C., we got a guy who's like, I'm going to do chess lessons for the military kids. He does them at the local Starbucks.
Yeah.
Hugely popular. And, these kids who are moving around, they often don't get that continuity of an adult mentor. So it's wonderful.
One of the things, just talking about kids, one of the things that I think you should do, and you probably do, is ask them what they want to do.
Right.
What would they like to do? And a lot of times, I know I used to do with my son, we'd go to car races or something. And I'd think, well, he'll be excited about that. Well, he'd rather be playing marbles or doing something else. So sometimes asking him and talking, yeah.
Such a great point. And I'm super excited because we're opening our newest chapter shortly. Mm-hmm. We haven't actually even formally announced it. So I'll sneak preview it here on this.
All right. That's what I'm talking. We get a first.
But Fort Liberty, the former Fort Bragg, we are so excited. They've wanted us to bring a chapter there for 6 or 8 years. Cost us money to bring a chapter there, and there's not a lot of fundraising to do in Fort Liberty area, but we raise the money externally. We're going to be opening that chapter, and this is the first chapter where we started as a startup. We were all volunteers, no money. We've been growing. We're the largest organization now that supports military and veteran families in the country. We're now big enough that when we go into this chapter for the first time, as you suggest, we're starting with a wants and needs assessment. What do the families here want and need? And how can we grow this chapter really focused on this specific set of families, not the global one in the whole country, but this group. And I think that is, you're 100% right. Let's ask people what they want and then deliver on that.
Yeah, I don't know if you're a tennis player or not, but I remember they used to build all these tennis courts. And and I'd never see anybody playing on them. But, right. You know, and then they'd have one racquetball court, and there'd be a line of people that wanted to get in there and play racquetball. And so I said, wait a minute, this doesn't make sense to me. So, yeah, that's a smart way to do it. I mean, that's good business sense right there.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. This, first of all, let me tell you, thank you for what you're doing. You're making a difference, in a whole lot of people's lives. So I appreciate that, all that you do and all you continue to do. And know that we're certainly here to help you in any way that we can. So just, always know that we got your back. maybe we can go out and show people how to sweep streets or something. I don't know, but we got your back. Hey, this is it. Go ahead.
I just got to say, giving us this platform is super, super valuable. Yeah. I love what I do. I feel so lucky and so blessed to do it. And one of the things that we say is that, we're happy warriors. That's our corporate culture, because we're warriors because we're fighting for change, but we're happy because we have an awesome mission and people want us to succeed, and we are going to succeed because it's really, these are solvable problems, and it's really exciting to be on that path to change. We just welcome everyone to be part of it, whether we can help you feel better and stronger on your mission to support the country, or whether you can be part of helping others, or a combination of both, because that's really what it all comes down to. It's free to belong to us. We hope all of your members do join, and we just love to keep talking to you, Sergeant Major, and stay part of your community.
Well, you are so motivating. It's infectious. They should clone a bunch of you. And hey, again, this has been a great discussion. Anything that maybe we missed you want to share with the audience, and maybe something that, or you want to go back and reemphasize?
Well, I appreciate the opportunity. I think that the thing I would end with is that we are always looking ahead. We did a poll recently and of the American people. The first time we did that, we worked with YouGov, who are the folks DOD works with on the recruiting propensity. And we asked them a bunch of questions. And we asked them, do you think military families are important to national security? People said they do. Do you think America owes something to military families? And they said, yes, they think we do. Are you doing anything to support them? Very few actually are, but it's not because they don't want to, it's because they don't know how to. And that's our
true.
Job,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's our job to make it easy for them. We also asked them, what do you think, that we are likely to have a serious conflict, international conflict in the next 3 to 5 years? And more than 2/3 said that we were.
Oh, yeah.
So I think that that's important. We have something big coming, and our country needs its military. Our military can't be choosing between serving the country and taking care of the family. We need to get the country behind making it possible for these families to thrive while they serve, so that we're prepared for that next fight. So we're very positive about what we do, but there is a serious undertone here. The world needs us to be a strong country, and we, of course, need ourselves to be a strong country. So bringing that community support, I think it's a gap we have in our nation right now. We need to close it because we have to be ready.
Yeah, I tell you, when I was on active duty, I used to tell people that, we'd have something going on and a lot of people deploying. They said, geez, I need to deploy. And I said, just stick around, you'll deploy. You just stay in the Army, you'll deploy. There's no way. And I agree with you, every 5 to 10 years, you have another war. But anybody that's went to war doesn't want to go back, and nobody wants a war. But that's our mission. When we enlisted in the service, when I enlisted in the service, I raised my hand, said I'll protect and defend the Constitution, and that meant that I'm willing to die for your freedoms, and I'm also willing to take a life for your freedoms. So this is not a joke.
And when you do that, you also deserve to know that your family is going to be taken care of.
Absolutely, absolutely,
right?
I agree, 100%. Yes, ma'am. Yep. Well, first of all, again, I can't say it enough. Thank you for what you do. Thanks for coming on the show. And thanks for all that the Blue Star family is doing. You're making a difference in a lot of people's lives. I certainly appreciate it.
Well, thank you. It's such a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. Thanks again to Blue Star Family's co-founder, Kathy Roth Duque, for being with us today. I'm Jack Tilley, 12th Sergeant Major of the Army, and you've been enjoying Your Next Mission video podcast. And thank you for joining us. Log on to our website at yournextmission.org and leave me a review. I always say I hope it's a good one, but if it's a bad one, I guess I can take it too. While you're there, you can visit our nonprofit and corporate partners who have jobs and services available that can assist you in your transition from the military. And check out our job board in partnership with the Recruit Military, where you can search for a job that's just right for you. Please go to the website to watch a short video that will help fine-tune your search where you can create your own personal profile. You can also follow me on my personal social media pages. I'm laughing about that because it's always fun to be on social media. Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, YouTube, LinkedIn, and Rumble. And if you like what we're doing, at your next mission, please click on that subscribe button below. And don't forget to click on the bell to receive notifications about all of our upcoming video podcasts. Don't forget, we want to hear from you. Please leave me a message or send me a text at 844-424-1134 or send me an email at smatilly@yournextmission.org. Thanks again to Kathy for joining us. And we talked about families and deployments and transition and just a lot of stuff today that's so critical. But the family, I think about, every time I talk about families, I think about the struggles that my spouse went through while I was deployed. You see, I spent 36 years in the service. I never watched my kids grow up. And they sacrificed so much for all of us, not just for me, for all of us, so we could fight for you. So it's about the families that we need to support each and every day. And organizations like Blue Star Family, they do need help. They do need additional money. They do need volunteers. They do need people that talk about it. If I haven't learned anything else on this show, doing this show, I learned that you have to market your product. And the product that we're marketing is our families and everything we need to do each and every day to help them, to allow them to have a better life each and every day. So thank you for watching today. And of course, thanks to New Mind Studios, our sponsors, Navy Federal Credit Union, Purdue Global, Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Dental and Blue Cross Blue Shield, FEP Vision, and USAA. We appreciate all you do for our military. And as always, got to get this one. And as always, we'll see you on the high ground. Hooah!
You've been listening to Your Next Mission, brought to you by the American Freedom Foundation. Learn more by visiting yournextmission.org.